We just heard about some of the disparities in the rural South when it comes to HIV treatment and prevention. But where you live in America can have an impact in other ways as well. There are laws all over the country that makes it a crime for an HIV-positive person to fail to disclose their status, not only before sex, but before a medical procedure, before going to the dentist, even if they're in a fight and they spit on someone. And some advocates now say the new reality of HIV and AIDS makes those laws obsolete. Two recent studies are shedding new light on HIV and AIDS transmission and helping to fuel this debate. In the studio with me now is Catherine Hansen. She's founder of the Center for HIV Law and Policy. Catherine, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Let's get a survey, if we can, of some of these state laws that I just mentioned around the country. What do they say now?
Well, there is a broad patchwork of laws. There are 34 states, two U.S. territories, and even the federal government that have some kind of HIV-specific criminal law. And what they criminalize varies from some states that only focus on sexual intercourse to some that focus on any kind of contact with a bodily fluid.
And this, but what we're talking about disclosure, so that the commonality here is if you're HIV positive and you know it, to varying degrees, it can be a crime to not disclose that either to a sex partner or a doctor, a dentist, somebody who might come in contact with bodily fluids.
Well, there are very few states that actually criminalize failing to disclose to a dentist. But you're absolutely right, Todd, that the focus is on disclosure, although the laws by and large are called criminal transmission of HIV. In fact, the liability hinges on your ability to prove that you told someone you had HIV before you engaged in whatever this conduct is that is prohibited, something that is, you know, as a practical matter, pretty difficult to prove.
And how strict are the penalties that we're talking about here?
The overwhelming majority of states have felony penalties. So it can be anywhere from several years to right now we're working with a young former college student in Missouri who received two consecutive 30-year sentences, supposedly because he did not discloses HIV to partners.
And just to be clear, failure to disclose, to get a felony, does it have to be malicious? Does it have to be somebody specifically not disclosing in order to harm another person, or can it be simply negligent?
That's a great question, and that's the other irony, I suppose, of the way these statutes are actually named. In fact, the thing that's unique about these laws in terms of the criminal law is that they do not require any kind of evil intent or intent to harm, which is very, very unusual. The criminal law was created to deter intentional bad conduct. And so the common denominators for all of these laws are several things. One, there is no requirement that you prove an intent to do harm. And then the other two really hinge on wildly inaccurate perceptions about HIV, that it's highly infectious and that it's deadly when you get it.
Well, let's talk about some of those perceptions and what some of the new data are saying, because at the dawn of the era of AIDS in the 1980s, this was a legitimate epidemic when there was no cure, when people didn't understand transmission well, and when for many people, once they contracted HIV, it was a death sentence. Attitudes have changed and some of the data have changed. So how is that informing what we know about these laws?
Well, it's surprising how little attitudes have changed. And for one thing, and I think this is really important, these laws have never been justified. We have known since the 1980s that HIV is not transmitted by spitting and biting. There were many, many studies of households where individual members fought, bit, shared toothbrushes, no transmission. We've known for a very long time that those things don't transmit. And yet we have, you know, a couple of days ago, a prosecutor in Billings, Montana, pressing criminal charges against someone who may have had mental health issues for biting a corrections officer because, as he put it, it's a known fact that biting is a source of HIV transmission, even though in the history of the world, there has never been a documented case of transmission to a corrections or law enforcement enforcement person.
Meanwhile, in several other areas where we know the transmission is a risk, for instance, with sexual activity, especially unprotected sexual activity, some things have changed significantly since the old years. Treatment. Antiretroviral therapy has extended the lives drastically of people with HIV. But how has it affected transmission rates and how people are thinking about the likelihood of transmission now?
Yeah, another great question. I think it's what has happened with the development of effective treatment has profoundly changed what it's like to live with HIV, and it has affected transmission. But again, I think it's really important for listeners to understand that when we talk about a dramatic risk reduction in transmission through sexual contact, and I'm not talking about oral sex. I'm talking about anal sex and vaginal sex. The risk, even without treatment, was in a single sexual contact, less than 2%. So we're talking about a dramatic reduction in the transmission risk of a virus that is not easily transmitted.
So it was low to begin with, and now with more available treatment, what are the transmission risks now for people with reduced viral loads because of medication?
As close to zero as you can get. I mean, nothing is zero. It's not a zero risk that you will fall in the shower and die tomorrow.
Right.
But that doesn't stop you from taking showers.
Okay, but still at the same time, those medications have drastically reduced viral load and the chances of transmission. But not everybody's on medication. We just heard how many, many people in rural areas never get access. And that would suggest that transmission's still a risk if medication isn't available and that maybe disclosure in some places might still be a good idea.
Disclosure is not a condom. It's not latex. And there are many other sexually transmitted infections, some that are far more easily transmitted. And HPV is a great example, of a virus that is extremely common. Pretty much anybody who's sexually active gets it at some point and is the cause of pretty much all vaginal, penile, even many throat cancers that will kill you far more quickly than HIV.
So there are moves afoot in some states to repeal some of these disclosure laws.
Quite a few states. California is one of them, Ohio, Tennessee, quite a few. We're working with advocates in a number of states across the country.
HIV and AIDS medication has changed the face of that disease and is making transmission in many places far less likely. And many advocates say disclosure laws need to go by the wayside. Catherine Hansen is founder of the Center for HIV Law and Policy. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Todd.